1 John 3.
Okay.
It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that? You want to build on that?
Well, I guess it's like we were looking at in 2 Corinthians yesterday. As we see him and see his glory, we must be more conformed to it. And I guess also that the fact that the more we know the position we're brought into, the more there must be a confirmation in us to live up to that.
Very good.
I was thinking also, knowing what we're going to become, like him, you know, it leads us to change now. You know, just in view of that we're going to have bodies that will be perfect and all that. So that's, I think that's what it means to say. He purifies himself now, even as he's pure.
Good.
So I was going to ask a question just in regard to that, and I could have asked it probably anywhere in the next few minutes, but the question is, if, as Dave said, knowing what we know about the future, we want to change to be like him. Knowing also, but we also started with the idea that there is this foundation to holiness, to sanctification, that we have been made holy, we have been sanctified. I guess my question that I think we should explore is, why should we start out knowing that? Why is it good to start out from the foundation? Why is it good to categorize the verses about sanctification for daily living as some which are about our position and others that we started exploring from 1 John 3 and others that will come out? Why should we start with categorizing these verses and looking first at the category of being sanctified as a finished thing? What's the benefit of that? Instead of just looking at a bunch of verses wherever we find them. Did that question come across right? Does that make sense? I'm not sure if I try again it'll get any better, but maybe somebody who understands my question can help me rephrase it.
Can I try?
Yeah.
Please do, yeah.
Please. Help us.
Is your question, why is it important to understand the positional truth of the verses we've read and the ultimate goal of God's purpose in sanctifying us to help us live it out in between those two realities? Is that?
Yeah, that's my question. So if you understood one of us better, whichever one you understood, yeah, I think the question is, we're categorizing verses, right? We're saying some are God has done the work. Some are God is without fail going to bring us to his presence in a sanctified condition. But then there are these other verses that we've started looking at and going to look at that say, you know, we should be sanctified. We should sanctify ourselves and so on. So why should we know the other first before trying to live this out?
I'm kind of amazed, actually, you're taking up this topic this morning, because I was kind of hit by an Old Testament type of this very question last night in my own personal reading, and I didn't think you'd get to it till at least Friday or whenever, but I was really struck in Exodus chapter 19. You get where God had the desire to make the children of Israel a holy people unto himself. And I think it's Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, which is actually just after this incident that I'll get to in just for just a moment, because I don't want to take up a lot of time. But Deuteronomy chapter 7, where in verses 6 and 7 and 8, you get this is about the end of Moses' life, and he's saying, "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." That really hit me, because in Numbers, and I just wanted to hit three verses there. We all probably know the passage really quite well, but Numbers chapter 16. You have, and I'd always thought of it, and I know it's true, that that there was the challenge of what God had given Moses by grace, but I saw something further here which I think angered the Lord more than anything else, and it was the confusion, maybe blatant confusion, between the fact that Israel is supposed to be a holy people and the practical holiness of them. Because in verse 3, you get they, meaning Korah and Levi, Dathan, Abiram, and so on, famous people, or the people who are pretty high up among the tribes, gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron, said unto them, "You take too much upon yourself, seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them. The Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Then verse 5, when Moses heard, he fell upon his face. But you get, he spake unto Korah, said unto his company, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him." And then verse 7, "Put fire there, this do, take censers, Korah and all his company, put fire therein and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy." You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. But I just saw the clear corruption of the positional. Here's, I think, to get back to Steve's question, mm-hmm. which is, why do we need to categorize them? Here is the blatant misuse of the positional holiness which the children of Israel had in type, and using that to say, okay, practically you need to step aside from the position which God has given you, because everybody in Israel is equally holy, we are all the same. But that wasn't what was at issue here.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Could I also make a comment about following up? I'm wondering if we are given the position first, because there is no way that we could actually achieve the position on our own.
That's right.
So all of our efforts, we will never be positionally sanctified or be holy by our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you are. Now live in the good of what you are.
That's right.
As opposed to trying to achieve it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and I think it's important, because there are those that say we could arrive at perfect sanctification here in this life. Well, as long as the old Tim is, the old nature is still here, even though we're to reckon it dead, but as long as we still have that old nature, we will not be completely sanctified. But God says, from God's perspective, we are sanctified positionally. That's the way God sees every newborn again believer. And that's a wonderful thing. And then there's that ultimate sanctification that he's going to do. And we've read that. But then the fact that these two things are as they are, God says, now I want you to live up to this, because you are my chosen people. And I want that to be a motivating factor in your life. And I want you to enjoy that position so much that it's lived out in your daily lives. And I don't know, Steve, if that's along the lines of what you had, but why don't you tell us the answer to your question?
Well, I'm glad to hear how others would explore it. But I think if somebody had asked me that question, I think, as Sam pointed out, it seems that it's necessary to appreciate where God has already put me before I can actually try to live in that character, live that out, like you said, Tom, whatever your name is, Sam. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. It's very easy otherwise to be tempted to live Christianity by a set of guidelines, a set of rules in order to achieve sanctification, to avoid certain things and to focus on other things and to define that as being sanctified, or to become very frustrated with my inability to live a sanctified life. The fact is, I cannot really live a sanctified life, as Tim just alluded to, except that God said, "I have made you holy already."